Blog Talk Radio.
Rodriguez and Tony Wade. As you know, lately we've been coming to you from separate parts up north in the middle, Virginia and Massachusetts. My boo is still up in Massachusetts, and I am here holding down the fort in in Virginia. And as always, missing my baby. I know you guys are tired of hearing and reading all of our lovely, lovely, lovely love poems, but I love my boo. You know, when you love someone, you got to let them know. So, baby, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm a little under the weather today, but, you know, it'll be okay. I'll be all right.
Yeah, makes two of us. But it's all good.
and you just need to get home after the
I'll be there next week. I'll be there next week. I gotta do what I gotta do here. But I'm almost, you know, I should be done and on my way back there for the 6th. So I should be back in VA, which will be good because my body adjusted to the VA weather compared to this Massachusetts weather. You know, you figure I would have been able to adapt, but I got back here and it's freezing. And talked to our girl Lisa. She went back. She came back north as well, and she's freezing and sick. You know, we're used to waking up at 80 some odd degree weather in the morning, but here you start out at 60 degrees, 65 degrees, and they have the warm up, and our bodies are acclimated to the southern weather now. So basically, we're up here getting sick. But it's all good. We're both trying to get back south. So we should be there soon. I know I'll be south before she will be, but it's all good. But, oh, for y'all that a couple weeks ago, I did a test because I went online to see if the name for my book was taken. Didn't realize it was the name of a movie and a few books. And you're going to run into that. But I didn't want to for my first book, so I went on a spree. And Kai posted a contest for people who could come up with the best name for my book. And I wanted the book to entitle the word vengeance in it. It's a thriller, suspense, action book. So we got flooded with a lot of options that night. A lot. Some people did like 10, 15. But I had the list, so I went over that list today. But I'm not going to give you the winner because I didn't tell people that I was. And I need to speak to Kaique about what the prize will be, because we need to prize you guys up. When you do, when you win a contest, you need to get a prize. You need to win something. So we're going to work on getting, I'm stuck, y'all. I mean, out of all the names I got, there's at least 10 I want to use, which entails about, I think, 4 different people. So I really need to, like, patting it down. So what's going to happen for you all matter of fact, I might even extend the contest. I'll have it reposted so that basically you can have another few days. On Monday, at the beginning of our show, I will give away the winner. I will tell who the winner is and let you know what you won. But I think I want to go with announcing it on Monday. So Monday,
well, how about
yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, how about Thursday? Because Monday is the 4th, so I didn't think we were going to do a show on Monday.
Oh, that works too. Okay, then, so we'll hey, so be it. We'll go through the 4th and into Thursday. On Thursday, when we have our next show, I will announce the winner. I will announce the winner who came up with the best title for my novel, which is hot. It's a hot novel. It's a hot novel, if I do say so myself. So, next Thursday, next week, people, I will extend it. I will post it. I've decided right now at this moment I'm going to extend it, and I will post it. And we will go until next Thursday. And if you've already given, try not to, if you've already given names, try to remember what you gave if you're going to continue to add more names to the book, more titles, so that I don't come up with the same titles 20 times over. We really got some good ones. I don't even know. I mean, I'm going to be nice because there are people that didn't know, so I'm going to extend the contest. But basically, I mean, I have 10 I have right here that I'm loving. I'm loving these right now. I have, like, Operation Vent. Well, I'm not even going to go into it. I just know that there's 10 names here, And I will give you all the winner next Thursday, so stay tuned for that.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
It sounds like a plan. Danielle said that just means you have 10 books coming up.
Actually, the way that it did, she's exactly right. The way that I did, the way that I was thinking of it when I looked at this, and I'm not trying to be a biter because, you know, Kaixa got, like, her series coming out, so I didn't want to, like, look like I was, like, biting her idea. But with these titles and with the characters that I have, I can actually do a series if I wanted to. So I might just, especially with the Vengeance name in these titles, I can do that. So, now see, that's going to spark another issue because people might be like, okay, well, you're going to use mine in the next one too? Do I get a prize for that one? So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm letting y'all know I'm feeling y'all right now on that, and then I know where you're going to go with it. So I don't know about the series thing yet. We're going to work on this one. We're going to work on this book. And I will let you know if the series is coming. I have enough names to choose from for the next few books at this rate. Like she said, it's 10 books, so I don't know. We'll have to see. We will have to see.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut our girl Danielle off. She's like, I come up with 30 more. Danielle, you have most of the list belongs to you probably already.
Yeah, that's kinda, so. It is 10 books. Yeah, that is kind of crazy. So,
yeah. So if you're not
like
a member of the Tony and Kai Show group on Facebook, search it if you're on the phone. If you're in the group, I posted the link. But if you're on the phone or you're just listening, just search Tony and Kai Show on the search bar within Facebook and request to join our group, and you can post any ideas that you have between now and Monday, and he'll announce the winner. Like he said, on Thursday show, next Thursday, we will be talking with Naughty Ink Press. They have an anthology coming out, I believe, in September, somewhere around there. So Melody and a few of her authors that are going to be within that book, within that novel, which I am one of them, they'll be on to talk about their stories, and Melody will be on to talk about, you know, the book, the anthology, where it came from, and all of that good stuff. So that will be next Thursday at 9 o'clock. And you still there, hon?
I'm here. You were talking.
Okay. You know you can't get quiet on me because I think, you know, your phone went out or something.
Well, you got you had a switchboard. You wouldn't know. But I'm still here. What do we got going on? What we got going on?
Let's see. I'm going to do a poem. I haven't done a poem in forever, and I felt like doing a poem tonight, so I'm going to do a poem tonight. I am also going to say congratulations to myself that my novel is completely finished. My cover, if you have not seen it on Facebook, Donna Clark is amazing. I love her so much. She did my cover. We started it a year ago, and it is completely, finally finished. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of work. Piece of art, I'll call it. I had to print it out and look at it and hold it in my hands, and I'm just so super, super, super excited. My novel is finished. Tony did an excellent editing job. We got the layout finally finished. Thank you to everyone who helped me tirelessly, answered all my little questions here and there. And so now we are just, you know, we're going to upload it, and, you know, within the next week or so, everything should be done and fine. I'll have it in my hand. I'll be able to look at it, you know, approve the proof, and then, you know, by the 20th, hopefully we will be able to say it is officially ready, you know. So I am super excited. If you have not had a chance to go to my website to look at it, you can go to Diamond Star Entertainment, actually, diamondstarentertainment.weebly.com, and there's a link on that site to my page. Instead of trying to spell out my whole name, you can go to diamondstarentertainment.weebly.com, and that will link you directly to my page. And you can read all about the book. You can see the trailer. You can read an excerpt. I started some character build-up, so you can get, like, a brief, you know, what they look like and a little brief history on some of the characters. There's links to buy the book, on there as well. The ebook is also available. We've got the ebook set up on Smashwords. So if you go to smashwords.com and search my name, Kaixa, it'll come up, or Beautiful, or DSC, it'll come up. But the link is also on my website as well to link you back to the Smashwords. So, you know, now it is time for, you know, us to get my baby's book out, you know, get either his poetry book or his novel out, either one or the other, you know, so he can experience the joy that so many others of us are experiencing, you know, being published authors and having that book in your hand, you know.
I'm having a blast trying to get this novel done, because I'm loving the characters in it and I'm loving the way that it's coming out. But I've been hot when it comes to the poetry. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm doing something a little different. And the more that I try not to write poetry, the more comes out. So I don't know, maybe I should try to write poetry and then I'll be able to slow down a little and work on the novel. I don't know. But I'm doing some stuff and I'm pumping poetry out right now. So I don't know which one's gonna come first, but one of them's gonna
yeah.
come first real quick.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, your poetry, like I said, we got the ISBN number for the poetry. We've got that already set up. So, I mean, that's probably the easiest book because you already have so many. And I shouldn't even say easier, because now you have to decide which ones you're going to put into the book, which is why I never did my poetry book, because I could just never decide which ones I was going to actually put in the book. So that
would
be
what we need. When I get back there, I'll probably print them all out. And that way I have them in hand and I can actually see them, see what they are. Right now they're all on the computer, but they're every little which way. But I have some on the flash drive, so it's kind of like monotonous right now. I have poetry everywhere. I might even have to go back into the poetry group and pull some from there, because I think I have a couple in there that I really like that I didn't bother to save. I just put them in, and that'll call for some digging. But, hey, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah, once you get it done, I can't wait to be on the receiving end, on the opposite end, you know, that you are now, and once you get everything done, I really, really can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to have some fun with this. I'm enjoying the poetry and the novel right now. I've never had that happen to me before, so it's going to be a good thing for me. I'm excited. I'm waiting to see what happens, what good's going to come with this one, because I'm loving it. I've got a new mind for the poetry. I got a new heart for the poetry, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, let's do that. Let's go to our topic for the night. We said tonight we're going to talk about Danielle and I had been noticing for a few weeks and stuff, we had been noticing a lot of people, women that we were talking to, were, you know, describing, you know, their relationship with their parents, or and mainly the women describing their relationship with their mothers, but also fathers and men with their fathers or mothers, or just family in general, and how disorganized and dysfunctional family, you know, seem to be, you know, especially within our community, you know, that it just seemed to be, you know, we're so far from the Huxtables, you know, we're so far from at least the images that we see in our own communities, you know, bar what we see on TV where, you know, it's tried to be displayed, you know, one way, the reality of what we see in the streets and at home and in our regular daily lives is not that, you know. So we thought we would talk about it, you know, talk about, you know, is this just a rite of passage, you know, is this just the way it is, or is there something else going on, you know, is there something else going on within us that makes it so hard for us to deal with each other. And saying that, you know, that it's already hard for parents and children to get along. You know, children want to do what they want to do. Parents want to direct their children. You know, we have this. Parents have this. We want you to act right. Children have this. I want to do what I want to do, you know, and that already is a turbulent. But outside of that, there still seems to be something more, you know, not connecting. You know, you can have a parent that, you know, you don't, you know, I want to do what I want to do to a certain extent, but still feel loved and still feel appreciated and still feel like your opinion matters. And, you know, a lot of us are not feeling that. And, you know, now we're our age, and I'm 30, I'll be 39 next month. So, you know, now we're grown women raising children, and we don't know how to connect to our own children. So that, what is it called? It repeats, you know, that same thing repeats. So now we act the same way that our parents did with us to our children. And it's just a cycle, you know, that keeps repeating. So, I guess we, you know, wanted to talk about how, you know, how do we get here? How do we get out of here? You know, if anyone is brave enough to call in and talk about their own relationship, whether good or, you know, with their parents, you know, we would like to talk. You know, what do you think, hon? Tony? See?
Can you hear me?
There you go. See? You told me the switchboard had nothing to do with it because
yeah,
it says you're still
time. It didn't that time. I have mixed emotions about this whole situation here. I'm feeling like there's a situation with the children, but I also think there's one with the parents. And, like, I'm going through a situation right now. You can call it like low tolerancy or patience, but I'm seriously seeing a level of disrespect when it comes to how even the young people are dealing with their parents. I don't know if it's something in the water. I don't know. I just got done talking to my nephew about it this afternoon, you know, telling him, you know, there's a level of respect that has to come, and these kids don't even care right now. It's like they're pretty much doing what they do, and it's supposed to be okay. And I'm dealing with something right now with my 19-year-old. At 19, I'll see she's, you know, you're figuring 19, she's pretty much up there on the age group, but still my child, you know, so there's a,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, for me, if I put blood, sweat, and tears in everything I've done for you, raised you the best I know how, and pretty much you came out okay. You came out all right, you know. I want to know at what point it's okay for kids to feel like it's okay to throw an attitude. I don't understand what the attitude these kids is about. I don't understand it. You know, I know where some of it comes from, but it seems to be something that's going on. It's something that's happening, and it's happening across the board. I'm seeing it a little bit of everywhere right now. So for me, that my focus is pretty much there. You know,
yeah.
I'm interested in why this is happening, and you know, I would like to know how we can fix this because I'm at a loss right now. I'm at a loss. Is that you can tell them till you're blue in the face, you know, it speak to me and, you know, give me some type of respect. But they're pretty much doing what they do. And I'm not trying to bash the young people at all. I'm not. Because I love the kids. I love the young people. I love the toddlers. I love them all. I'm just saying if there's a situation that you want to talk about, need to talk about, then talk to me. But do it in respect. I don't have a problem with these. I don't have a problem with these young people coming up with their ideas or coming up with the issues that they have and wanting to talk about it. I think we should talk. There's a lack of communication going on. But if you're going to do it, like I said, I mean, you do not have to be rude about it. You do not have to have attitude about it. And the lack of respect is just crazy right now.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, where you can't pinpoint a problem, but at the same time you can say, you know, across the board there's a lack of discipline coming from parents, any type of discipline. You know, you've got 7-8-year-olds roaming the street at all hours of the night. You know, it's not even, I mean, and I'm a laid-back parent, but my kids, you know, for whatever their issues are, weren't street runners, didn't talk to me any old kind of way, didn't cuss at me, you know, never raised their hand to me, you know, and you have kids where, you know, you got parents that are posting videos of their kids acting a fool, you know, or cussing at two and laughing and thinking it's cute, or popping their booty and thinking it's cute, you know, and then we wonder why, you know, me and my cousin was in the store yesterday, just yesterday after we dropped my daughter off at the train station, and we were in some clothing store, and this couple, I think it was two couples, or it might have been a couple and an extra person, but they had their younger kids with them, and they were, the guy was yelling through the store, and the kid couldn't have been no more than, I'll give him 3. I can't see him being more than 3. You know, little nigga, you know, shut up, you acting like a little punk, you know, get your A over here. I'm like, really? You know, and they're just like up and down the aisles, and this poor older lady was at the end of the aisle, and she was kind of stuck in between them. You know, she was working here, she was putting clothes up, and the woman was on this side, and the guy was on the other side yelling back and forth to the baby. And me and my cousin was just sitting there shaking our head like, seriously? You know, like, what type of relationship are you going to have with your son when he's 6 or 7? You know, how is he going to talk? This is how you're talking to him. So 9 times out of 10, one day he's going to call you that right back. You know,
yeah,
I mean, where is the
Go ahead.
You know, where is the respect either way? Where are the parenting skills? You know, where, and these weren't young people, so we, you know, I'm not going to say, and I understand that there are a lot of young parents. But even with the young parents, who's molding them? You know, who's teaching them? What role model do they have growing up? You know, we as parents really have to understand that we are our children's role models. You know, and this is so far off the not really so far off the topic, but Urban Image Magazine, they post things all the time and little questions, and they had a question that I saw today, which was, you know, if your parents, they've been married for 15 years and you're an adult now and you're out and you're leaving, I'm assuming it was a hotel or a motel or something, and you see your mother coming out of a next door room, so assumingly not with your father, and you're like, what you doing here, Ma? And she's like, well, I'm getting my nut off just like you. What would you do? And everyone's comment was, nothing. It's not my business. Not my place to say anything. We're all imperfect. Whatever we do, you know, it's not our place to judge. And I'm like, really? Really? That's my mama coming out of a hotel room with some guy that's not my man, and I'm just supposed to, well, I'm supposed to give her that. I hope it was good, Mom. Like, really? I mean, where is the sense of anything, like, seriously? You know, people say, oh, I caught my best friend with my other best friend's man, and it's none of my business. I'm not supposed to say anything. Really?
Mm.
Where is the sense of, I don't even know what the word is, but, I mean, we have to at some point start standing up for something. You know, you need to stand up for something or you fall for anything. I mean, we're parents. You know, we teach our children the type of adults to be. We are their role model, you know. And for some reason, you know, we have mothers who are jealous of the bond between the father and the daughter. You know, we have mothers that are envious of their daughters. You know, we have, you know, fathers that for whatever reason just don't understand the role that they play in their children's lives. You know, they don't understand their role as, you know, head of the household or as the father, whether you're in the household or not. You know, so we just have continuing generations of children growing up to be dysfunctional adults, you know, and then they're 20-something, 30-something trying to find themselves when, you know, they should be set already. You know, mm-hmm. It's our job as a parent to produce productive adults. And it's like, it's no big deal anymore. You know, go do what you want. Raise yourself. I got to go to the club.
Yeah, we do have a lot of that. We do have a lot of young kids raising themselves. I mean, and then on top of that, we have a situation where it's like on TV. I mean, you watch a TV show. I just finished watching a show where this woman left, and you can call it TV all you want, but this stuff is actually happening too. But this woman decided she was going to go out and left her 7-year-old to watch the 4-year-old and talked about, you know, your food is in the microwave, just make sure you eat, you guys go to bed at such and such a time. I'm like, seriously? And this is stuff, I mean, again, we can say, well, it's all about the TV all we want. But the problem is that life mimics it. Life mimics fiction. And we have a situation where this is actually happening. Parents aren't actually being parents. So it does become an issue. It's a big issue. I definitely
we got a caller. Let me see what our caller is saying. Caller, you are on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Tony and Kai. This is DV.
DV,
hey.
What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Like, I was listening to the show, you know. It finally came on the time I can listen. So, like, usually, you know, I'm like, oh, God. So, you know, I had to call you guys up and listen. And then, of course, you start talking about kids. And, you know, my parents have always taught me this. Respect is a marriage between love and fear. And you show kids, you know, if you make your kids fear you too much, then they become isolated and they don't care about anything. But if you show them too much love without the fear, then all of a sudden they want to test these boundaries. There's always
tests
to be done. So the thing is, if you don't have both of these in equilibrium, you're going to raise these kids that are off-center. So, you know, you raise them too hard and they don't care about anything. You raise them too soft and they're always trying to, you know, test something, whether it be rebellious, whether we want to call it rebelliousness or what have you. It's just, you know, the human experience. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, Kai said, it's kind of one of those things that recycle, because the things that you learn from your parents are the things that you basically teach your kid because you don't know any better. These are the experiences that you had, so these are the experiences that you pass on. And because we're kind of getting away from that equilibrium, you know, black people teach their kids, you know, with fear. And so you're constantly teaching with fear. So now these kids raise up not caring about nothing. They're not caring about, you know, the other sex. They're not caring about themselves. They're not really caring about much of anything. You know,
wow.
So when it comes down to their kids, they raise them with the same fear without that equal amount of love. To, you know, so that these kids have an understanding. Because with love comes a little bit of understanding of the world around you. You know, so, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that the more, the more generations that pass on, the less parents are able to raise their kids with these understandings that, you know, it's okay for your kids to fear you, but they must also understand the love aspect. You know, so they grow up respecting other people's things and other people's feelings, then it's always going to be off. The worst is going, it's always going to get worse before it gets better, because there's going to become a point in time where you're going to have most kids not caring about anything, you know. And when you have a bunch of essential sociopaths, you know, the only thing they're going to do is build more jails to hold them. They're not going to want to teach them anything. They're just going to have the end result. So until we get into that path and that mindset of wanting to teach the kids and having, you know, it takes patience to raise kids. You know, I have God kids, you know, and they call me, they know me. I'm all about respect. You call me Mr. You don't, you know, you're not an adult. You don't call me by my first name, you know. So even if their parents, you know, aren't instilling those values in them, it's up to me to help them understand why I need to be called Mr. Why you don't call me by my first name when I'm 30 years older than you are.
Yeah.
You know, even with my cousins that were the same age, my parents had me call them Unson, well, not the same age, but if my cousins were about 10 or 15 years older than me, my parents were like, look, they're your aunts and uncles. That's what you call them, even though they were my cousins, because it was a sign of respect. You don't call an adult by their first name.
Right.
and you are a child. So until we get into that understanding aspect, there's always going to be this war between adults and kids, because all they know is fear. You know, all they know is what not to care about and what not to do to get knocked upside the head, and, you know, what not to be like so you don't get your feelings hurt. But until they understand that other aspect of love and understanding, then that's all they're going to be, hard-headed.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Now, see, and you just said a lot there, because that even messed with me, because Kai used to say that to me concerning our son, because I'm a disciplinary. And if I look back at it, my mother did rule by fear. She still tries it, and I'm 44. She still tries it. There are times where I can be hard, and I'm trying to soften up now. And, you know, she's quick to point out, the kids need discipline. And even though he needs discipline, he still needs to see the love. So where's the love at? And for me, I'm looking at it I was looking at it in the reverse for her. That she's a nurturer is what she does. You know, and she has the love that I need to show. She has that. She does that. The discipline that she needs to show, I have that. There's a balance with the two, but I guess basically what you're saying and what I think needs to happen is the balance needs to be within each in order for it to be successful.
Right.
You know, I think somehow hope. It used to be like that. You know, we had that TV show that used to come on way back when. It was called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. and it was always, you know, when your father gets home, you're going to be in trouble. That was that fear tactic. You know, but then again, the father was a disciplinary. And another issue that we're finding that we have, because you need a mixture, you need that equilibrium there. We're having a problem because a lot of homes are single-parent homes. So you're also not getting the balance in that area as well. So for me, DV, what you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What would you suggest that I'm the disciplinarian. Kai has stepped up the bar in a big way. So she's working her thing. You know, and she's got a mixture. I like the mixture she has. For somebody like me, I'm not so much. I have a low tolerance, like I said earlier, for the disrespect. I have a low tolerance for the craziness. So how do I get to that point? How do I develop that mixture so that I can play both sides?
Sometimes we get stuck in our roles. The longer we're in that role, the more we become that role.
Okay.
You know, if you've spent the last 20 years of your life being a disciplinarian, the last thing, you know, you can do is just say, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and be soft, you know, because that goes against every grain of your body. That goes against who you are as Tony. So the only thing that you can do is this at this point is you still have to exercise your disciplinarian, but you have to help them understand why you are the way you are. Look, you know, and I know because I'm one of those guys too. There's two things that I can't stand. You know, someone who disrespects and who lies. Once you cross that threshold, you know, you can't go back with me. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, I'm going to confide something to y'all. Like, the other day, you know, I found out that, you know, the guy that my sister married put his hands on it. So, guess what? I bought me a ticket, you know, back home. You know, and that's all I can think of, and that's all consuming. You know, because as the older brother, that makes me the disciplinarian. You know, but you know, my mother basically said, "Look, you know, that was the way I raised you to protect your family. But understand this: that sometimes you need to sit back and look within yourself and understand that everything can't be controlled. You can't control everything. It happens. You know, and." You know, she's like, I know that you hate reacting to it, but trust that other people have her best interest at heart as well. So sometimes as a parent, what you have to do is like, okay, well, she did something, you know, my daughter or my son, they did something really stupid. You know, this time, instead of, you know, getting their behind, sometimes I'm going to have to sit back and we're going to have to talk, you know. And then you express to yourself, you express to the other person, especially, you know, at 19 years old, you express to somebody, look, you're an adult, so I'm going to treat you like an adult. I'm going to yell and scream at you. But understand that this, the reason why I scream and yell at you is because, not because you made the mistake, but because I asked you not to make the mistake, and you went ahead and did it anyway. So that's frustrating.
Right.
You know, or I tried to guide you away from these points in life, and you still, you know, the big doo-doo pile that I tried to guide you away from, you jump headfirst right into it.
Yeah.
You know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have to, instead of reacting, you're going to have to talk. You know, and that's how, you know, that's how people with love get their point across, with understanding. They have to speak about their feelings, why they're feeling the way that they're feeling, and how that child can better display, you know, a better means or a better way to get themselves out of the trouble. You know, my, both my parents were disciplinarians. Let me say that outright. Both of my parents kicked my tail. You know, but it took, you know, like, it took my, you know, some other family members to really hold me down, because for a while I didn't care about anything, nothing at all, you know. And, like, I was just cold to the world. If it happened, sucks to be you. You know, and that's how it was.
You wow.
know, but like I said, you know, I'm still going to be that disciplinarian. But I do also understand that there's, you know, I can't always punish the people around me. You know, that sometimes
right.
I'm going to have to sit down and talk to them, express to them why I feel the way that I feel, so that I can get out of my chest and hope that they understand. You know, and then next time, let them know, look, you know, we had this conversation. If this happens again, we're not having no more conversations.
Yeah. See, I just had, well, actually it was about a week and a half ago, but I had an issue with my 19-year-old when it came to being respectful. She kind of threw something my way that normally I would have rebutted, and when she got done with it, which I classify as being disrespectful, the way that she went about it, but then she turned around and got up and just, like, walked away. You know, for her, it's like, I'm done with this conversation. This is how I feel, and now I'm done with this conversation. Now, the old Tony would have said, wait, hold up. You're not going anywhere. I'm not done with you yet, you know. And if she wanted to walk away, you know, she used to be great for walking away and going in a room and slamming a door. Again, you don't pay the bills here. Don't slam a door. That's showing me that you really don't care about what I'm thinking or feeling right now. And I would have been quick to, like, snatch her up. I was never one to spank her, never did that. Again, all I needed, I guess, was that fear factor. I did a lot of yelling, and I did a couple of snatch-ups. And my thing is, I have no problem with a snatch-up. You need the respect. And this time around, when she did it, I just pretty much sat there. I looked at it. I said, okay, well, she's a young lady, one. Two, she's, you know, she's 19. And I just don't have the energy right now to want to be bothered exerting the energy it would take for me to get my point across. And, one, you know, a third thing is I didn't want to go overboard with it because I was really upset.
Right.
So I left it alone, tried to do a new thing, and I left it alone. I said, okay, she can have it. Now my mindset right now is, you want to have your attitude, you have it by yourself. I can't.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I can't, you know, embed myself in this, you going to do you. I did my best. I did 19 years, you know, and you want to come like that, that's fine. But understand, I don't have the time for it, and I don't have to take it. So you can be miserable on your own. And it's a hard thing to do for me, because she was a daddy's girl, you know.
Oh, yeah.
and that's my heart, you know. She is my heart, and it's like it hurts to have to be dealing with this stuff, you know, especially remembering everything I did. But hey, you know, I had to come to, so the discipline thing didn't play out like it normally does, like it normally would have. I tried to find the, you know, I just left it alone. I don't know if I was right in doing it that way, but my thing was, she's going to do what she does. I can't shake reality into her. I can't make her be respectful to me or anybody else. She's got to learn it. She's got to do it on her own. Those days are gone. She's 19. So it's a hard ball.
Quickest,
you know.
hardball to find out. I didn't mean to cut you off, man, but you know, sometimes what I find out the quickest way to learn about the world is to put them out in the world. It's because, you know, and that's the way it is. The thing is where we shelter kids, you know, they only see what they want to see. It doesn't matter what you tell them. You tell them a house is on fire, you know, they would fight you if the house was really on fire. You tell them the sky is blue, they'd be like, it's black, and y'all would fight about that. You know, but it's like this. When I was living in my parents' house, I had graduated from college, the whole deal. You know, and so I thought I knew everything. I was like, man, my parents ain't even graduated from college. I graduated from college. I know more than they do. But I would never tell that to my parents in their face because my parents would rip my face off.
Yeah.
So I figured, okay, well, you know, I'm just go ahead and keep it to myself. Well, I was still doing stuff around the house. Like, you know, I was entitled to it. I had graduated from college. Everything they asked me to do, I had done. I had never spoken back to my parents. So when they came and asked me one time, my parents accidentally caught, okay, they accidentally, I left a condom, you know, a used condom out, and they caught it. And so they were heated. You know, my parents were livid. And so they basically told me, you know, you've done everything we asked, which, you know, and we respect that. But there comes a point in time where, you know, you disrespect us and you have to go. You know, if you're big and grown enough to have relations and, you know, inside of our house, then you're big and bad enough to get your own. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, I'm big and bad enough to get my own spot. Boy, was I stupid, because that was the hardest, you know, it was the hardest time of my life, because no matter if you have a college degree or if you got a high school diploma, the world is a hard place to live. When you're paying for everything and doing everything your own, you respect more with the things that people, the small things that people did for you, like fed you, kept a, you know, roof over your head, and you didn't have to pay that much for it if you had to pay anything at all. You know, just cleaning up was, you know, or contributing a little to the bills was fine. But when you out there paying 100% everything on your own, you finally, the world crashes in on you. You finally come to the realization that, okay, maybe they were looking out for me. And it made me respect my parents even more. You know, after that crash course in learning about life. You know, they can tell you everything. You know, as a parent, you can tell your daughters everything in the world, you know, but they won't understand it until they experience it. And experience is a hell of a teacher. You know, they I mean, and sometimes it's just like that.
So Kai had an interesting question. I mean, or statement. I mean, well, actually, it was a question. Go ahead and ask that, Kai, because I'm, you know, there is a flip side to it.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure that we address the flip side, which, you know, I'm the parent and the child, so, you know, I totally understand the parent side that we've been talking from, dealing with difficult children. But also, as a child, I want to make sure that we discuss from the child's point of view. You know, I'm a 38-year-old, still in my head, a child, that child that's desperately longing for, looking for that approval, affection, you know, something from her parents that says, you know, hey, I wasn't just some mistake that you wish you had never had. You know, we have, like I said, you know, parents that are jealous. And I firmly believe, although, you know, my mother to this day will never, ever, ever admit anything that she has ever done wrong, and I've never gotten an apology from my father for any of the messed up stuff that he's ever done. You know, I think that on some levels my mother was either jealous or, you know, felt that I was doing something. I mean, I've been abused by probably each and every man that she's ever had in her life. So I think she either feels bad for picking those men, or she feels that I've done something to attract attention from each of those men, you know. And I've been reading books lately where this has been like a topic, and I've been talking to a lot of women lately where this has been a topic, you know, where they feel like, you know, what is it about me that my mother just doesn't like, you know, or men, what is it about me that my father doesn't want to be around, or, you know, I don't have that role model to grow up to know how to be a man, you know. And like Tony mentioned, there's a lot of single parent homes, and I'm sorry, ladies, you know, we try to claim both roles. We cannot teach our sons how to be men. We just can't. We're not men. Just like a man can't teach a woman how to be a woman. You know, you can't. You're not a woman. You can't tell her about her body or anything like that, and vice versa. So, I mean, you know, how do we as adults now, you know, because there's not much you can do when you're a child and you're looking for that love from your parents and you're not getting, there's not much you can do. You know, your parents are who they are. 9 times out of 10, they don't even see nothing wrong. And if they do and they're still acting that way, they just don't care. So, you know, but then, so how do you as an adult, you know, a lot of people, I posted this question in our group the other day, you know, and some people are like, I just let it roll off me now. I don't know how to get to that point. You know, I've tried, I've prayed, you know, I've been in tears. Tony has helped me so many nights. You know, it came to the point, we moved to Virginia. And this is when I seriously, seriously got hurt. Twice, my mother has come through. You have to go through Richmond to get to Georgia. My mother just recently, after Tony and I relocated to Virginia, my mother relocated to Georgia, Tennessee, to go be with my brother. Then my other sister, like maybe less than a month ago, relocated to Georgia as well. You got to go through Richmond to get to Georgia. The first time my mother came, she stopped in Richmond and went to visit my cousin, spent the night, and would not come to my house. The second time, my sister had intentions to stay here, and my mother would not let her stay here, would not let her stop, made up some excuse. You know, so how do you as an adult, I mean, you got to go right past, you got to go through my city. I am literally 5 minutes off the highway, literally less than five. We're about five, less than 5 minutes, baby, right, off the highway,
yes.
Less than 5 minutes. You know, so how do you as an adult, you know, how do you get through that? I totally, and I listen to people say, well, it don't bother me no more. You know, she is who she is or she does what she does. You know, my daddy ain't never been around, and, you know, I just let it roll off my back. How? I just want to know, how do you get there? Because, you know, I have a hard time, and that's probably why I am so soft with my children, because I want them to, you know, probably understand the love that I have for them more than anything else, because both of my parents were super, super, super hard, super disciplinarians, very, you know, it would be called abuse today the way my parents were, but we knew, you know, we came home, we did our stuff, we got our homework done, we did what we had to do, we weren't out of line at all, but the love wasn't there. You know, there was no love, at least not for me, You know, I have my sister and my brother that she's with now. They can't tell them nothing. You know, they mama's babies. You know, she loves them to death. But, you know, how do I get through that? And, I mean, because I'm sure a lot of women listening right now that are dealing with that, you know. So how do you get through that?
Wow. Wow. I let Tony get this one.
Man, that is I, you know, honestly, I think that's the question of the night. I loved what DB said, and I think it holds true. You have to have a balance when we deal with our kids. We have to have that balance of love and discipline, but at the same time, on the other end of that coin, getting through that. I mean, I've been with Kai. I've gone through it. I'm on the opposite end. I had to teach because my sister, I love her to death. You know, she's my other half when it comes to, she's like my twin. But basically, my mother, she held things over us all the time. She tried. She had to have something. We always felt she had to have something to complain about. She had to. We knew she was coming home, so it's like, let's clean it. Everything. We'll even wash the floor. We'll do everything. And she would still come home and find something to be upset about. And we basically, it got to a point to where me and my brother, we developed a tolerance. And it was like, we just ignored it. Our thing was because my sister would want to use her car, for example. And my mother would say yes. She'd side-eye, say yes, and then she'd give my sister a whole bunch of crap about her car and about why she shouldn't let her use it and how much it meant to her. And she'd make her feel bad to the point to where my sister was like, I don't even want to use it now. You know, but my thing was this, and I taught my sister, like, look, your objective is the car. So once you get the car, everything else doesn't matter. As long as she says yes, let it go in one ear and out the other. But it was hard for her to do. I don't know if it's harder for women than it is for men. I would assume it was because I keep saying it, but women are the emotional end of our nature. as to where men normally aren't the emotional ones. Women, emotions play a big part, so it's possible it's harder. Women look for, not that men don't look for approval, not that men don't look for the love, but I think for women, it's a built-in thing that they really want. They got to have it. And when it comes down to what you go through, it's hard to tell you how to get over something like that, because I, for one, know your past. You know, I know what you had to go through. I know what you still go through when it comes to that type of stuff. So it's hard for me. It literally is a heartfelt thing for you. And I know it because I share your heart, so it hurts me to see you go through it. But I couldn't even begin to tell anybody how to get over something like that. I just know for me, it was like I learned at an early age. And my mother still agitates. She tries. But now I'm really grown, so it's like, okay, well, I can say goodbye to you and be done with it. I really don't have to listen to this, you know. My mother,
yeah.
my brother could talk about, he's psychotic, you know. He's like out there half the time. So my brother could, you know, he could threaten to, like, burn her house down if she made him mad enough, you know, threaten to kill or whatever, and she'll still let him stay there. My sister can use, like, every word a sailor's used and never used, and she won't say a word. But if I'm in her house and I happen to say something to the effect of damn or anything else, she looks at me like she wants to gut me. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the oldest. You know, my other two siblings, they can swear at you like they're your neighbor or the dude down the street, and you let it go. So I don't know. I bypass, and it's hard to teach that. It really is, especially to, no disrespect, but especially to a woman. It seems to be something that's hard. Women don't always, you know, see it as something easy to do. And it's not that it's easy, but I couldn't even begin. I'm at a loss when it comes to that. And I do understand, I can understand, Kai, why you are the way that you are with the kids. I can understand that. But like Dee Dee said, I'm more of the let's at least find that balance, because I can't just let them. I need to make sure they got discipline. You know, I'm the type that gotta be some type of discipline there, because there's certain things that I just can't. And you're right, Dee Dee, when you say, you know, you at a certain age, it's like, okay, 20 years is gone. You've been doing such and such, so it is what it is. I'm learning how to be softer. I am. I'm learning how to attempt to be softer, especially with the 7-year-old. I'm missing him like crazy, and I'm in math. I'm missing him. When I talk to him on the phone, it's just, he's the cutest thing. He's a little man, and it's cool. But when I'm there, it's like he's doing little things, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I want to pull my hair out, you know. But, I'm trying to be soft. I'm trying to be soft with him and do what needs to be done for him. But maintain that structure. It's hard. I couldn't even begin. I couldn't. What do you, when it comes to you, Kai, in your situation, I know you don't know what to do, but, I mean, what would you like at this point? I mean, we're talking in terms of, so, you know, you're the older child as far as your siblings go, but you're also an older child. You're not, you know, you're an adult now. So it's like, what would you like at this point? Not that you shouldn't expect anything, I'm just asking, what would you like?
I think for me, I would like to have some type of, I don't know.
Okay,
equality.
Before you answer that, I'm going to say something. All right?
Okay.
Life has taught me one thing, that you can't want for other people what they themselves don't want for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I met my biological father once in my life, and that was his funeral. If I worried every day about, you know, what he wanted, you know, I never really thought about the chance to meet him, simply because there were other things going well in my life. You know, so I try not to focus on the negative aspects, because there's always going to be negative aspects.
every day you wake up, something bad gonna happen. You know, it's, but there, most of the things we just kind of shrug off. The things that we hold are the things that we ourselves know we can't change. You know, you can't change the way that your parents are. They have to want that change for themselves, and they have to do it for themselves. It doesn't matter how badly or how desperately you desire it. So therefore, the only thing that you really do is focus on doing the best that you can, so that you in turn don't become like they were to you. You know, you don't become to your kids what your parents were to you, because that is the that's just like them. That's them dictating how you should run your life.
Yeah.
You know, so essentially, being the antithesis of everything that made you hurt is what you should focus on, and thereby making you a better person, not only for your sake but for your kids' sake. Because the same pain that you're feeling, if you pass that along to your kids, they're going to in turn pass it on to theirs. So the only thing you can do is just be the best damn mom that you can be. And I'm not talking, you know, give them everything and buy them stuff, because that's not being the best parent. That's just giving them stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way that you can raise your kids is the best way you do it. You know, so that way when you're, you know, 70, 80, 90 years old and you need somebody to take care of you, guess what? You got your family to rely on. And that is life's greatest, you know, I don't want to say revenge, but justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what's wrong in your life, as long as when you're at the end of your road, there are always people there to watch over you and care for you, that means you did exactly what you were supposed to do.
See?
Yeah.
And that's all true.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I've heard, you know, and that's what everyone says, you know, to focus on you. You know, you can't change her. And that is my prayer. That has seriously been my prayer for probably the past, I don't know how many years, is that I can come to grips with this is just who she is, no matter, you know, what she says, no matter how many times we see each other at a family function and she'll smile and whatever, know that it's just for that moment, because once she leaves, she's not going to call, she's not going to stop by, you know, you're always going to live too far away, even when you live around the corner, it's going to be too far away for her to come and see you. You know, it's a hard thing, and I give so much props to anyone who has been able to just accept that and move past it in general, and seriously, it doesn't bother them anymore. You know, for the most part, I cannot think about it. And then, you know, when something like that happens, or when, you know, family will come to town and they done visited everybody but me, or, you know, my brother's wife called. Well, she didn't call. She found me on Facebook because she saw me listed on one of my other sister's pages as her sister and didn't know I existed. I am my mother's oldest child. My mother lives down there with my brother's wife, and she don't know a daggone thing about me. You know, it's like, did you forget that you gave birth, you know, 39 years ago? Like, you know, when those type of things happen, it's like it comes back and it's so clear and the hurt is just like right there. And those are the times when I don't know how to, you know, just swallow it or roll it off or whatever. And, you know, it becomes like, as a parent, it's like, how can another parent do that to? I wasn't a hard child. You know, I could see if I was like one of those all the time in trouble, suspended, you know, like, oh my God, every time I turn around. I was a straight A student. Like, I was a good kid. You know, anything that I ever did wrong was not of my own volition. I was an abused child. I was a child that went through lots of other things being done to me and at me, but I was not one of those kids that, you know, was always on punishment and always getting in trouble or anything like that. So it's just like, you know, you just really, really, really would like to get into the head of some of these parents and try to understand, like, what is it? You know, is it a first child thing? Is it really like an oldest child thing?
It's like when I was in college, I had to take a couple of psych classes and you had to do psych clinicals. And I heard a story very similar to yours where the mother kind of let, you know, all these abusive people in her life do these things to her daughter. And finally, when the mother came clean, it was like after this, you know, the woman was 50 years old, and her mom was like 72, 73, basically on her deathbed when she told her she was sorry. Because the thing is, she was so embarrassed. And after the years passed, the embarrassment turned to shame. And the shame turned to exclusion, where it's like admitting that you knew something, but you didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? You would have to tell that to everybody, not just you. She wouldn't just have to tell you, Kai. She would have to admit that to everybody, that she knew what was going on. She just let it happen. And then the looks that people would give her and the shame that she would feel, like for this woman, she just couldn't live with it. So rather than deal with it, she just chose to ignore it. She felt, as long as I ignore it, it didn't exist. And as long as it didn't exist, I could live day to day. Because if she constantly reminds herself of how she let her daughter down, and she said this on her deathbed, if she constantly were reminded of how she let her daughter down, she would kill herself, literally. She was like, I would have killed myself a long time ago if I kept thinking about it. So I just chose not to think about it and put it in my past and never admitted it. I've never admitted that it happened. So she kind of isolated her daughter because she felt like that she is that one thing that I've done wrong. I didn't apologize, so I'll just ignore it. And if I ignore it, nobody else will find out about it, and I don't have to talk about it. And that, and you know, and that's kind of, that's like exactly what, well, not, I'm not saying this exactly, but it seems similar to what's happening to you. Your mother doesn't admit that you exist because she kind of feels like it was her fault. And if she comes clean about it, all of her kids and all of her family will know that she let her eldest daughter get abused and she did nothing about it.
Yeah, and then that puts a bad light on her, and nobody wants that bad light shining on them.
Right. And nobody wants to take responsibility for the, you know, the things that they not only did wrong, but kept secret and then didn't tell anybody for 20, 30, it's 40 years, 40, you know, 40 years is going on where really 30, you know, 35, where she allowed this to happen and said nothing to no one.
You know?
So it's just her way. The reason why she doesn't acknowledge you is because as long as she doesn't acknowledge you, it never happens. She can't. There's no wrongdoing on her behalf.
Yeah.
When she sees you, she's forced to interact with you because she can't just like, oh, okay, you don't exist. Because now she's in front of everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, which makes sense.
And
like
that is what happens. Yeah. That is. It's. I don't know. It must be a family thing.
It goes back to that bad light, you know what I mean? You just like, okay, well, I don't want people to know that it is what it is. Of course, that comes across, sometimes it can come across a little on the opposite side. If you have somebody that's, say, like a monarch of the family, somebody that's that upper lodge and everybody looks at them as, you know, the respected one or the one to respect. So now, you know, you may get those that even in that situation may not say anything because basically they don't feel that they have to. They may feel justified in being who they are, you know, period. But I believe that in like, say, your situation, Kai, I believe that DV's right. It's that situation where that bad light, they don't want it on them, and they don't want to have to admit it, and they don't want to have to deal with it. So, you know, in that in itself, you know, it's like it was said in the chat room, there has to be a release. There has to be a release of some nature. And I got a couple of ideas, but I'll have to talk to you about them. I'm starting to get some ideas. It's a hard thing to deal with when a parent doesn't, you know, show that love, you know.
Especially for their offspring, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you treat somebody else bad, you know, it's kind of like, so what? But if, as a parent, the ultimate failure, the step on failure is when you let stuff happen to your child and you do nothing to stop it.
Yeah. I can't understand that. I can't understand it. I'll never understand it. These women that I mean, are you serious? You have like a 7-year-old, maybe younger, maybe 12-year-old, 5-year-old. You want to get upset. I do not understand these women that get upset and hold it against the child who happens to be the victim.
The victim, how do you, because it's easier than blaming themselves.
yeah, I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. I can't wrap not one iota of mind around that. It doesn't make sense. It's like you walk in and you see that you know, your man, your boyfriend, your guest, your husband, whoever he is, even your father, you see that he's doing this. And the girl, the child, is an unwilling participant. And you know this. How do you hold it for years? How do you hold that against the child? What in your right mind possesses you to say it's the child's fault? What did you do? I can't watch, I mean, as weird as it may sound, yeah, I can't even watch Precious. I can't do it because I was told all the storyline. I can't do it. That girl went through hell and back again, and then hell again, and then back. You know, and it's like watching a woman take stuff out on her daughter like she did. You know, and this child, and this woman, not only that, but her daughter's child as well, and the child happened to be the man's offspring. I mean, I can't even watch it because the emotions that I get just from talking on it are enough for me. Yeah, I don't understand these women that do it. I just don't.
It's no different than Munchausen by proxy. There are
yeah.
people who hurt their children in the intention of getting attention for themselves. In this case, it's the opposite. They kind of feel that, you know, when their kids get hurt, it's their kids' fault, not, you know, and you know, the parents, you know, are dealing with this thing where they feel like the kid intentionally wants them to be alone. So, you know, they made themselves
yeah.
too sexy where the other person couldn't resist. You know, there are cases where people do these things. And the reason why we can't understand them is because, you know, we're so put off and disgusted by this type of behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, DV, when what you described earlier, I firmly, and I can't say 100%, but that has been what has been going through my mind, you know, is that, you know, I've said, you know, my biological father, her next husband, you know, and it's to the point where, you know, she's either got to think one or the other. Either I'm just picking stupidly wrong guys or my daughter's doing something, you know. And, I mean, there's things that people in my family don't know how far back it goes, you know. So it's... For me, growing up, it became a thing where I just felt like, well, goodness, you know, this just has got to be me. This has just got to be, you know, why I was put here, you know, on this earth. And, I mean, you guys talk, I mean, Tony's talking about, you know, women that allow this to happen or know that it happens. I mean, my mother walked in and caught it dead-handed and didn't kick him out, caught him in the act and didn't kick him out, you know. And then you have to flip it around and go, well, how can you be a man, whether it's your stepdaughter or your biological daughter or your cousin or your niece, how can you feel any type of attraction and act on it? I couldn't see myself being a mother, because there's mothers who do it to their sons. I couldn't see myself being attracted to my son and not, like, trying to cut off my finger or something before I touched him. Like, how could I act on that? That is my child. You know, what part of a man says, you know, no matter the age, I mean, we've seen the nastiest things from infants all the way up to teenagers. I mean, what part of you says my child of my own flesh or this child that I am raising as my daughter is sexy and then acts on it? You know, what part of your brain doesn't say that's crazy? You know, there's got to be something wrong with me. I mean, what part of your brain acts on it? And then you feel alone and you feel... You leave that child feeling alone and, like, they have nowhere to go because now the one person they want to turn to, oh, he pays the bills. I know if I tell mom, she's going to be upset because dad pays all the bills. Mom's not working, you know, and children are actually going through this in their head, you know, or, you know, they're told, well, if you tell, mom's going to kick you out because you know she's going to believe me over you or, you know, I mean, or and it becomes that, you know, and... Oh, it's a mess. It's seriously, seriously a mess. You know, we are choosing our partners over our children, you know, in this instance, you know, how could you, and plenty of women, you know, you know, because you can't tell me, you can't see when he gets a little close to her that your daughter doesn't, you know, clam up, hold herself, you know, move a little bit to the side. You know, somebody sees it, and people just ignore it, and it's like, how? Why? You know?
People, you know, there are a lot of issues that people need to, you know, so many that we can't name. And, you know, there's hundreds more that, you know, are still in the process of being diagnosed. But people in their right mind, people who know, who are sociopaths, who understand the difference between right and wrong, you know, we see these things. But there are people who just don't, either don't or don't want to. You know, you wonder how a person could go and, you know, chop off people's head and eat their eyeballs. You know, like, well, what was he thinking? You know, he was thinking he was hungry. You know, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't really, you know, we don't get that. So it's just kind of one of those things that people will be, you know, regardless of the circumstance, people will be who they are. If your mom really wants help and she really wants to admit that she was wrong for what she did, then she will find that help. But until that day comes, you have to do the best that you can with what you have.
Yeah.
Because as long as you worry about this, as long as you let this eat at you, it's going to become a part of you. And, you know, God forbid, worst case scenario, that you get to a point in life where you're like, okay, I can't take this anymore. And you start to act out against your family.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and that's huge in itself. That's huge in itself. We have 15 minutes left. This is a big topic, and we've hit it before, and it does come back around because it's continuing, and it's something that's huge. And basically, we don't have all the answers. We have a few answers. We have the basics, but I mean, I don't know that there's a definite for all of this, because it's like we're saying in the chat room, you know, it's crazy, it's sad, it is hurtful. It's definitely not right. When it comes to raising our kids, we need to learn how to raise them correctly. On the other side of that token, we have a situation where these kids are, a lot of the disrespect that I mentioned earlier in the show that they exhibit, it doesn't just come from the parents. You know, it may not come from the parents at all. I mean, they spend most of their time at school. If you know, and they spend it with them. They spend more time with the kids at school in the course of a day than they do with their own parents. The parents could be at work or sleep. They get up, they go to school, they spend half of their day there. They come home, they're either in activities or they're doing homework, so there's no interaction there. And then by the time that's done, it's time to watch the TV, play the video games, play with the toys before, you know, you got to hit the bed and do it all over again the next day. So they spend most of their time at school. And a lot of, you know, it becomes a peer pressure thing, or it becomes a situation where the kids are picking up what they're seeing from their peers. And, you know, how do you combat that right now? It's hard to do. And I, like my daughter, she acted out in junior high, because the kids in her class were. My daughter was literally trying to, you know, not caring too much when it came to her grades. She was failing. She was an A student, but she was failing because she was in a lower level class with kids that were given bare minimum. And she befriended them for half of the year. Half of the year, she's getting F's. Half of the year. And they were telling me when it comes to her test scores, she's great. When it came to the classwork and the homework, not passing it in. Had a round table discussion. Teachers are telling me all the same thing. She's a smart child, doesn't want to do the work. And we all derived at the conclusion, well, basically, she doesn't want to be the outcast from the rest of the kids. She wanted to fit in and be like the rest of the kids. And doing your homework and showing how smart you are was a no-no, because it's not what they were doing. They weren't passing in their work. They weren't raising their hands and participating in class, so neither was she. So we took her out of that class in the middle of the year, put her in a higher level class where the teachers were, you know, they explained to me, these kids right here are in another division, and they're the ones that are basically, you know, we're looking at their work and their A students getting the work done. We'll put her in that class, in those classes. She went straight from F to A's. F to A's. You know, it was like, we're going to put her in this, in these classes, and she'll have no choice. If she's all about fitting in, these kids are doing their work. They're participating.
Why didn't they do that beforehand? If she's a straight-A student, why don't you put her with the dummies?
Yeah,
I mean,
they waited.
I hate
they waited.
Dummies,
yeah, and this is what the schools do. Just, and I'm looking at it like this. If I had never gone to the school, it never would have changed over. You know what I'm saying?
Nope, they would have let it be. They'd have let her fail.
Yeah, they would have let her fail.
Yeah.
And this is what these
yeah.
teachers are doing. But this is what the kids are dealing with. You know, the peer pressure is huge. You know, and the ridicule is horrible. The bullying has gotten out of hand. And they're not trying to be different because they don't want to have to deal with that stuff. They'd rather fail, you know, than to be an outcast.
Fail and fit in.
Because when
be
I was
smart
a kid, my parents,
and stand out.
Yeah.
My parents are like, look, if you're not smart, you're going to get, you know, we're going to beat you. So, you know, it was pretty much do or die with me, you know. You know,
and that's why we need to be a part of our children's lives, you know. We need to be, I mean, they like Tony said, they have enough to deal with outside of the home. You know, when they come home, we need to be a part. We need to show interest. You know, when they come in from school, I mean, we've learned this, you know, from dealing with my young son. You know, we've learned, you know, that we have to show, you know, it helps when we show interest to him. You know, when he comes in, you know, how was your day? You know, what did you learn today? You know, what are any problems today? Because sometimes they don't say anything. They're just waiting for somebody to ask them. You know, a lot of kids aren't going to just volunteer information. They're just waiting for one person to ask that right question so they can just release everything.
They're waiting for mom to ask that question. They ain't waiting for dad. Because dad would be like, what? I'm beat you up.
Yeah.
They're waiting for mom to ask that question.
See, and I'm that hard. I am. I'm that disciplinarian. I'm coming in. I'm reading on everything. You know, I'm reading everything. It's like, okay, you've been in the kitchen way too long. All you had to do was put a plate in the sink. It's been like 10 minutes. You're still in the kitchen. What are you doing? You know, you've been in the bathroom for 20 minutes, and I know you don't go to the bathroom that long.
Period.
What's going on in the bathroom? And I've been, it's been said, okay, well, that's micromanaging. But here's my thing. Every time I do that, every time I check in, like if I go into the kitchen, 9 times out of 10, he's touching something he ain't supposed to be touching. If I go into the bathroom, he's playing with something that shouldn't be in his hand. You know, so it's like, okay, well, you know, either I let it go and I don't micromanage the actions and stuff happens, or because he's going to be the first one, he'll run out the bathroom crying because he's bleeding. Okay, so I'm a preventative type of dude. It's like, I'm going to stop you before you get there. I am. I'm going to do what you got to do and then go about your business. I don't want to be dealing with a hospital band-aid. I don't want you crying. I don't want you sick because you touched something you wasn't supposed to, you know, got toilet paper all over the bathroom, everywhere but your behind. I don't understand it. So, you know, I'm that hard one. I am. I can be. I'm trying to be soft. I'm learning, and I think I've gotten a little better. I do.
Yes,
I
you have. You have.
I've gotten
you have.
Better with it.
But you know what, man? Sometimes you just need to laugh at their misfortune. You know, like my parents did good at doing that. They laughed at my misfortune. And sometimes they embarrassed me. My parents were good for that one, you know. And that, believe me, embarrassing your kids still works, you know, because I've embarrassed, like, my guy kids. God knows I've embarrassed them, you know, and I put them out like that. You know, but the thing is, it's like, don't take me there because you ain't going to like the way I bring you back. And that's my philosophy. So they know not to test me. Like, all it took them is one time. You embarrass a kid, boy, they remember that forever. And they carry that badge with them.
Yeah, it's like we are telling our son, okay, you don't get nothing to drink after 8. You don't. You know, we you're not going to deal with there won't be that peeing in the bed. There won't be the nightmares and all that stuff. We want you do not have anything to eat or drink after a certain hour. So when we tell him nothing after 7:30, and then we send him to the bathroom and brush his teeth, well, dude is standing in the bathroom drinking like handfuls of water.
Oh yeah, no, brush your teeth, drink half.
And
the
I'm
water
like,
bit.
What is he? The water's running forever. I'm like, what is he doing? I go in there, he's like, and I'm standing there at the doorway. He don't even know I'm there. I'm just watching him scarf water down. And I'm like, dude, really? We did say nothing to drink. And then he raises his hands up, he's like, what am I doing? And I'm like, you're drinking all kinds of water. You know, what are you doing? But this is the type of stuff that, like, would eat at my bone marrow, because he'd turn around and try to do it again. And I'm like, okay,
like,
we can't do this.
Yeah, like, man, like, you know what, like, when my godson did that, my godson, all right, like, if I catch him wearing a sag, he know better. If I catch him busting the sag, he got to walk around the house with, like, with Speedos on. And he has to wear those the whole day. Like, the old crawl up in your booty crack Speedos. And he don't like it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do, because you know what? That, you know, if you do that out in the world, I don't see you. You do that in my house, and we have problems. So, you know, I got a Speedo specifically for him. You know what I'm saying? And if he want to go outside, he got to rock that Speedo, so he just hides himself in the house. You know, I let his friends in just so they can see him. You know what I'm saying? When we come over, you know, and I don't be on it because, you know what, you made this bed. So now you got to lie in it. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well love the sheets that you're wearing.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. At least have some type of ramifications, you know, some type of something, because it's redundant, man. I can't. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But
hey,
they love
the
bacon, please.
We get,
oh, please.
We get
sorry.
You know, next month, I figured, you know, there were a few topics that I wanted to make sure that we hit. And we've been doing relationships and stuff like that, and we've done the kid thing before. But, you know, this was one that I wanted to make sure that we hit, and we'll probably hit it again. But next month we're going to do the declining two-parent household. We're going to hit that one next month. We haven't really talked about that. We've talked about, you know, the role. And I think somehow, some way, we're going to throw in, we haven't gotten to our From a Man's Point of View. And I really, really, really think we need to do that show. We need to expose and talk about, you know, men. You know, where are our men? You know, what do our men want? What are our men looking for? What do our men think of their role in the household? How can women be more supportive to our men? You know, from a man's point of view, you know, we talk a lot. We get a lot of women usually that call in and talk in, but we really, really, really need to hear from our men. We need our men to really step up and be a bigger force and a bigger presence. So I'm really going to work hard, even if we have to maybe do an extra show one day a week or something. We're going to throw that show in, and I really, really want to get that show in. But next month we're going to do the, you know, the declining two-parent household, and I think the month after we're going to do, you know, a show on what happened to the community, you know, because you remember back when we were growing up, you know, you'd get in trouble from that neighbor saw you, somebody else saw you, you know, you got in trouble. Nowadays you can't do that, of course, because people are just crazy, and you can't let any old kind of person touch your child. But at the same time, you know, when people bring it to you that your child has done something wrong, we want to act like we have angels and, you know, get all defensive and out of whack and start cussing people out, and, you know, you don't even want to admit that you have a child that might have done something wrong. So,
and there are the parents right there that it doesn't matter who it is. It could be their own mama. It could be, you know, it could be somebody that they trust. But, again, it comes down to ain't nobody touching my kid. Ain't nobody chastising my kid. Nobody saying anything to my kid. We put our kids in the hands of the school system all day long, every day, 5 days a week, some 6 days. And yet and still we have a problem with the teachers chastising our kids. Now, some of them may be wrong the way they do it, but for the most part, we don't know. We're not there. And our kids have to, I mean, I'm looking at some of these kids now and how they act towards each other and their own parents. I'm not going to try to be oblivious to the fact that they're doing it to the teachers. You know?
Yeah, yeah. We've got about a minute left.
I'm not going to say that they're not, you know. But, yeah, we do. We got a minute left, so.
We will be back on Thursday, like I said, next Thursday. So, DV, we will talk to you next Thursday. I'm hoping you'll be back with Melody and the rest of the Naughty Ink crew. We're going to talk about their anthology coming up, and we're going to hear about it. And
hear about what else they got going on. So that's where we will be next Thursday. You guys enjoy your Monday. Enjoy your extra extended holiday. Have a blessed, blessed, blessed weekend. Stay safe. Kiss your kids. Go kiss your partner. You know, spread the love. We'll see you back
spread
here next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
9 p.m.
Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in.
Have a good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.